reading today is from Acts 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Amen.
What a wonderful passage of scripture. So today we celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate, we remember what God did on that day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, as is referred to, but continues to do that today throughout all generations. I will pour out my spirit on all people, says the Lord. You know, this was the first preach that Peter did. This was not carefully crafted at his desk for hours and hours and hours. This was an inspired moment that came with the Holy Spirit, empowered him. But it came after walking with Jesus for 3 years. It came out of an experience, a knowledge of the love of God that Jesus had for him. We know Peter was a wily character, don't we? To say the least. And yet, at this moment, when the Spirit fell and he was to stand up before the Jewish people gathered in that place, he spoke this amazing word. I'm not advocating preaching shouldn't be without preparation. But I am saying that the inspired word of God needs to be released. Needs to be released so that we can hear it and receive it and so be changed and transformed. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts and penetrates. It enables us to know the power of God being released in our lives when we release it, when we receive it, when we take it and allow God to minister to us. As we know, Peter and the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and John referred to it earlier, where tongues of fire came and a wind came and filled the room they were in. And we see that the skeptics of the Jewish people, well, they're drunk. What was the video? I think drunk on cheap wine, I think it said. We know God gives the best. Do you remember the story of Canaan at Galilee? God saved the best till last, didn't he? God poured out his spirit at Pentecost. He saved the best till now. That sense of putting old wine or new wine into old wineskins doesn't work. We know, don't we? We know that God is in the process of transforming us so that when the Holy Spirit comes afresh, it doesn't burst the wineskin because we've been transformed, ready to receive what God has for us today. We see the effects of the Holy Spirit making those men stagger around as though they're drunk. And yet, they weren't drunk. It was the power and the weight of God that was resting upon them. Have you ever experienced the weight of God resting upon you? That sense of God where you cannot move or you struggle to move because of just the enormity and the immensity of God and his presence at that moment. That's why we see people fall over in the Spirit. Because the weight of God, when it falls, when we allow God to have his way in our lives. There are people that when sitting describe themselves, when the weight of God falls on me, I cannot move. It's as though I'm pinned and yet my spirit is free. But as we know, God is a gentleman. God doesn't force these things on us. It's only when we open our lives to him and allow him in, does he gently enable us to know his power and his presence in our lives. You know, I believe that the power of God is at work today and it will be at work tomorrow, and will be continuing to be at work until Christ comes again. You know, before, I've spoken about two baptisms. That physical baptism where we go and pass through the water, and as Peter rightly drew us to, that spiritual baptism, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need both. It is that acknowledgement that God is at work in us, where we need to allow God to have his way in us. You know, there's an illustration that Nicky Gumbel uses, that John's used and I've used a couple of times, where he describes the power of the Holy Spirit as a flame in a boiler. Do you remember that story? Where the power of the Spirit is represented by the flame in a boiler. You've all got boilers at home, haven't you? I presume, anyway. And when the boiler's not active, the pilot light is on, isn't it? Ready to, if you've got one of these combination boilers or not. When you put a drawer on it, the flame then bursts into life and enables the water to produce heat, which then gives you hot water or heating in your home. And the Holy Spirit is like that within our lives. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive God's Spirit within us. We were designed to be spiritual beings. But when we allow, so that Spirit is there within us. You can't change that. That's part of our DNA. But when we open ourselves up to God, it's like turning on the drawer of the power that's needed to enable that flame to burst. The gas comes through, or whatever fuel is being ignited at that point. And the Spirit of God is enabled to be released within us. I remember of an image when I went to South Africa. It must be at least 15 years ago now. And we were driving through Soweto. And on one side of the road were gated communities, brick walls and gates, with signs that say, warning, armed guard response if broken into. They pull no punches. And yet on the other side of the road was this shanty town. Anything that they could have found, they cobbled together to make a shelter for themselves. They were held on with tarpaulings, tires, bits of string and rope. There was no sanitation. There was no running water. There was no power. There was power, but it actually ran above the top of this community, from telegraph or whatever power pole to power pole. This cable ran across, but they weren't able to access it. And yet it was only there. How easy would that have been? And sometimes I wonder, in our walk with God, whether we see there's a power there, but we don't tap into that power. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to come and move amongst us. You know, it's very easy to find yourself in a place where you're praying every day, you're seeking God every day, but over time, somehow you become flat. You're going through the process of being a Christian, and that's okay. But somehow, maybe you've forgotten about the Spirit's power that's longing to be at work in our lives. Sometimes we find ourselves trapped in a groove. And when you're in a groove, it's really difficult to break out of that groove because you're just following the furrow. And I wonder at times where we all fall into that groove, where we forget that God's power wants to be at work in our lives, and yet we settle for the humdrum. We settle for the routine that just seems to get us through. Now, I have to confess that there are times when I've been in that place. About 4 months ago, I found myself in that place. It was okay. Life was going along. Things were good, you know. But there was no power of the Holy Spirit, evidently, that I felt at work. God was there, God was present, I was praying, I was seeking God, I was ticking all the boxes. if that's a phrase to use. But do you know what I mean? And yet there was something missing that I'd come to a place where I hadn't realized it was missing. I went to a meeting. I was invited just to sit and draw close to God. And at that moment, I wept because I'd realized I'd become dry. At that moment, I'd realized that I'd missed somehow God's Spirit at work in my life. And he brought me to my knees. And I had to repent and say sorry. I'd got into a place where there was a rut, and I needed to break out of that rut. God wanted more for me. And yet, at that time, I was happily going along, and yet God wanted to grab hold of me and shake me and say, come on, Simon, there's more. There is more. And I praise God that he broke through. God has more for us. If you find yourself in that bit of a rut today, reach out to him. Reach out to him. I don't want to bang you over the head with this, because God is gentle. God is loving. But when we realize that we've perhaps become a bit dry, God loves nothing more than his children coming back to him and say, Lord, I'm dry. Come and water. Come and refresh. I've leaked and it's dry. Just come and pour afresh again. At the Bricks Fair, I was doing the rounds, and I just had to go over to the car and get something. And on the way back, there was a man pushing his motorcycle. And I stopped and chatted to him. I said, are you all right? Everything okay? He said, I can't get it to start. I said, well, try again. So he stopped, put it on his stand, pressed the ignition button, and the battery, well, there was hardly any life in it at all. It wasn't going to go. He said, I've tried the battery and it's gone dead. I can't kickstart it. I can't do anything. It's just not there. So I said, okay, let me pray. And then I'd like you to try it again. So he prayed, tried it again. Third strike, brum, started up a treat. Just at that moment, he had to go all the way the other side of Exmouth to get home because he works in Brixington. And sometimes that the power of God needs to be activated within us to enable us to rise up. Everything's there, but sometimes it just needs us to be vulnerable and say, Lord, will you have your way in us? There's a song by Billy Ocean. God, this goes back a bit, doesn't it? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I don't know why I was reminded of that when I was, but that sense that sometimes life is tough, isn't it? Sometimes we're against the wall and we just don't know which way to turn. But God says, when you step into me, I will give you the strength that enables you to rise on the wings of eagles and soar with me. When the challenges come, and believe me, they do come, don't they? Thick and fast sometimes. And when they come, God says, step into me and I will allow you to rise up. To rise up and know his view of our circumstances and situations. God has promised that he will pour his Spirit on all flesh. On all peoples, male, female, young, old, there is no descriptor that limits the power of God in our lives. So that message applies to each of us today. You know, there's a phrase that I use, one touch of the King changes everything. When the Spirit of God is allowed to move in our lives, transformation follows. I was reminded of Psalm 63. Let me just turn to that. Which says this. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In the dry and parched land where there is no water. I wonder if that's you today. Are you in that dry place? The water seems to have dried up. It's leaked out, whatever the phrase you want to use. Are you in that place that David describes, declaring that God is your God and that you are earnestly seeking after him with your whole being? You know what it's like to be dry, don't you? To gag and to, you're just longing for a drink of water. God offers the water of life, doesn't he? God offers the water that never runs dry. That we never have to be spiritually thirsty again. But to know that God is at work today. You know, the Spirit, as has been said before, the Spirit of God is there to encourage us, to empower us, but to empower us to go out. To empower us to be a light in this dark world. It is not given just for a jolly up. It's not given just for us to feel good. The Spirit of God, as is written in John, is described that enables us to go. The Spirit of God enabled Peter to preach this word at Pentecost. And 3,000 were added to the number that day. Praise God. When the Spirit of God is active and moving, when we allow that to happen in our lives, great things happen. They do. They do. Great things happen. So if you're dry today, if you're finding yourself stuck in that rut, and that you want to break out of that rut and say, Lord, just fill me afresh. I hear what Simon's saying this morning. I hear what the Word of God is saying, and I find myself in that place longing for more. Then will you respond this morning? Will you say, Lord, yes, that's me. I just want more of you. I want to know something of your power working in my life. Something of that love that would just touch me afresh this morning. I've drifted away, but I want to come back to that place where I know there is great joy. There is a sense of your love that cannot be described, but it is just there. Lord, would you have your way in me this morning? So let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who pours out your Spirit abundantly. But, Father, we pray that our hearts might be in that place, ready to receive you afresh. Without you, we can do nothing. And yet with you, we can do all things as the Spirit enables. Father, where we have become dry, where our lives have become maybe humdrum, just caught in a routine that, Lord, just somehow just seems to be lacking the power of your Spirit, would you just come and move afresh today? Lord, as we read those words, that you pour out your Spirit on all peoples, Lord, would you pour afresh today in us? Lord Jesus, come and have your way. Come and minister to our deepest need. Come and touch our lives afresh. Let us not be dry, but full of life, full of vigor, full of that place, Lord, of wanting and just longing for more of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We all need that fresh touch of God, don't we? We all need it. Whether you've been a Christian a long time or a short time, we all need that continuing infilling of God's Spirit. Lord Jesus, hear our prayer, we pray. Come and fill your people again. Come and minister. Come and do what you need to do this morning. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour.